Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 through 12. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
I had some obviously suggested and some recommended, and I knew myself I needed to do it, that we do a series for the Father's Day as well. The only reason that I maybe thought not to was other matters that I wanted to get to first, but then also because men, maybe more so, are, you know, maybe more so talked about in the Bible as far as just more so, maybe way more so than men, women. So I wanted it to be very special, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's even special also to have a Father's Day series. Certainly it's fitting, and we're definitely going to do it. We're going to have one for a couple weeks here, maybe a few weeks. Again, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a couple or one father here from the patriarchal age, and then we're going next week to talk about two from the Mosaic age, and then we're going to talk about maybe one or two another again from the New Testament age. And so, great fathers of the Bible, a Father's Day series. What we're talking about in this lesson is a few great men of the Bible that were also fathers and how they dedicated their lifestyle, their life, their behaviors to be like God, to live according to God's standard, to raise up children living according to not their standard, but according to God's standard, living righteous lives as righteous fathers, taking care of their families as God would have it done. There are many great righteous men and women in the Scriptures. There are many men of God characters who are also fathers. These fathers were great fathers. Why? Not because they did some amazing thing as far as for man, but it's because they had continuous practicing of traits of God. At least they tried to have continuous practicing. That's not to say that they didn't make mistakes as fathers. That's not to say that they didn't mess up as father. Maybe obviously sin, because all men sin, all women sin from time to time. But they tried their best to repent whenever they made a mistake and to mean it and to make a change, make a fix. They had a practice of compassion, a practice of love, a practice of care, humility, a practice of patience, a practice of sincerity, and etc. All the traits of God to the best of their human ability towards their wife and towards their children. So there's many, again, fathers we could talk about just as we talked about mothers in the Scriptures. I can make this series very long. I don't intend to, though. I mean to get to other matters as well. But we're going to, again, take 2 to 3 Sundays. So because, though, again, of these individuals practicing these traits that are of God, these men more often than not led successful home and family lives. So we'll try to look at different families and characters for this series that we did not go over in the Mother's Day series. If you'll remember with me, in the Mother's Day series, we looked at a lot of fathers as well. And we talked about a lot of fathers, such as Joseph, such as Abraham. And so we'll probably try to pick other individuals as we can for the Father's Day series just to cover more ground, more Bible characters. However, even talk about their wives. However, we'll keep on with the purpose of the lessons in the series, which is not necessarily to look at all the events that transpired in the Bible character's life, but really to look at how the person behaved, how they conducted themselves, how they exampled themselves as a child of God, how they educated their children spiritually as a righteous father and a man of God. So first of all, talking about Noah. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll begin there in verse 25. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 25. Genesis 5, starting in verse 25. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years. And he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years, and he had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. Before we get to talking about that specifically, obviously, as we know the flood events, we know the events and the things that God would describe as far as Noah. Noah would be a wonderful man of God, devoting himself to the faith of God, to the obedience of God all throughout his life, it seems. Noah was the son of a man named Lamech, as we just read there. Lamech was actually the first to have multiple wives recorded in biblical history. And so if you look at back where the multiple wife thing started, really it's very likely that it was actually with Noah's father, Lamech. Now that's very interesting because as we look at Noah and we talk about Noah, Noah apparently did not let that affect him as far as how he picked wives and how he chose to look at marriage. Noah obviously had one wife. He didn't have multiple wives. And then if you look at his sons, how many wives did they have? Well, you see over there in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, and you look at other accounts, this is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, and you see that there were eight people on the ark. That means Noah and his wife, and that means one son and his wife, one son and his wife, one son and his wife. If you do the math, there's eight people. They all had one wife. There were four men and there were four women. And so Noah obviously geared himself, regardless of his father's intentions and his teachings, he geared himself towards God's teachings. Because he wanted to be a successful father according to God's standard. And so sometimes you hear the old excuse from a father or from a try-to-be father or a soon-to-be father. Well, you know, or maybe a father that's given up or something. Well, my father did all these traumatic things to me. My father did all these horrible things to me. 100% understandable. 100%. But, however, and I'm completely sensitive to those who have struggled through those things. However, that doesn't mean that we can't try to live as children of God with our lives. If we look over at Ezekiel 8, and not to look at it right now, we'll look at it later. But Ezekiel 18, 20 through 24 makes it very clear that God sees and separates the actions of a father from the actions of a son. And that each person is responsible for their own sin and for their own righteousness. And each person is responsible for their own repentance. And if they don't repent, they're responsible for that too. And so Noah, he chose to do the right way according to the Scriptures of God. He knew that God made man as male and female to live as one flesh, married for life. Noah was also a great-grandson to Enoch. He was the first person in recorded biblical history known to have not seen death, but literally, Enoch was taken by God to his reward because of his tremendous faithfulness in having pleased God. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. 21 through 24 here in this chapter. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And if you look over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it's very clear what it means by what he was not and that God took him. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. As you look in that great faith chapter in which Enoch is actually recorded in. By faith, Enoch, same person, was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. Because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And so again, there's many things we can talk about Noah here starting off as far as his family tree, as far as influences that he may have had, that he chose as far as not to take on bad influences and to take on good influences. Perhaps it's the case that Noah was influenced by by Enoch. I'd have to do the math more specifically to find out if he was alive during that time. I believe he was. I really do. But it could be that he had influence from other individuals, not even only Enoch, but other righteous individuals who would eventually pass on. But Noah, obviously, whatever the case, he chose to live according to God's standard, and he trusted in God no matter what. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 18, again talking about that problem with multiple wives that started with Lamech. Noah did not let it become him. He only had one wife just as God intended. Genesis 6 and verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, singular, and your sons' wives with you." In Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, where God instructed to Adam and Eve, and God instructed to mankind at that time and throughout all time, that this is God's general standard all throughout time, that a man and woman would be together for life, and there wouldn't be any multiple wife situations. Genesis 2, 24 through 25. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." Singular again, singular. "And they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Noah followed this standard. Noah would go on to have three sons named Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We don't know if he had other children. It really doesn't seem like he does. We know that Shem, Ham, and Japheth had many children after the flood event. But Noah himself, it seems, only had the three sons. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 32. Genesis 5 and verse 32. "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Noah was a man who put his faith, his trust, his confidence, his heart, his boldness in God. He didn't let terror, fear destroy him as a man. He didn't let worry, anxieties destroy him as a man of God. He put his trust, his confidence again in God. He didn't let those things affect him to destroy him spiritually. The popular, well-known account of Noah and the flood all happens to where humanity would survive through Noah, because of his faithfulness and trust in God, which in turn saved him and all of his family. One funny thing that's always hilarious to me, and more so here in America, it's a thing, where if you ask where somebody's lineage is from, they say, "I'm Scottish, I'm Irish, I'm German, I'm Scandinavian, I'm Asian, I'm African." And so you just go down the list, and you look at Ancestry.com, and you can look at all these things. And people say, "I'm from all these places." But if you think about it, sure, we are. We are, and especially being Americans, considering history. But we all draw back to Noah, because Noah survived the flood event. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, we draw back to them as well. If you remember, Shem, Ham, and Japheth all went their separate ways. And their sons would establish cities, and they would establish different populations throughout the world after that event. There would only be eight people after that flood event, and then they would once again multiply the earth as God commanded. But Noah, because of his faithfulness and trust in God, he taught his children, and so God allowed them on the ark. He taught his family, and all of them there were saved, his whole household. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, also the great faith chapter, Noah is obviously mentioned in. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 a little bit and try to piece what this is really talking about, how Noah reacted to things, why he reacted to things in that way, and then we'll look at God's reaction to Noah for doing these things. So step one, what happened? Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Noah was divinely warned. Noah was told by God. God warned him that something horrible, or not horrible, but a judgment of mine has come into pass. As far as it being horrible, the fact that many sinners would lose their lives because they chose to be sinners. So Noah was divinely warned. Noah was then moved with godly fear. Step two, loving, trusting respect for God. We're not talking about terror fear. We're talking about a loving fear, such as in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of that passage. Fearing God and keeping His commandments. Loving, trusting, respect for God. And then step three, Noah seems to have immediately started preparing an ark as God instructed in the Genesis account. Noah did not keep God waiting. He got his family and likely had his sons working with him, and they started working on the ark. The reason behind Noah making the ark, we've learned so far, is because of steps 1-3. He was divinely warned by God, he was moved with godly fear, and he wanted and needed to save his household. And he knew that could only be done by God's standards and by his way, and through God's judgments. And so, our conclusion after those three steps is that Noah, by doing all of this for these godly reasons, walking along with God in the process, condemned the world by his righteousness, being one of the sole survivors of humanity. And his family being the only sole surviving family of humanity, his household that is. And not suffering the physical and eternal punishments that the rest of humanity would suffer in his day historically. Noah is to this day an heir of the reward of God and of the righteousness of God, which is according to faith in God. Because he believed in God, because he trusted in God, he acted on it, he did something about it. Noah built an ark. An ark, which took him presumably around 100 years. Noah was dedicated and devoted to God as a father and as a man of God, it seems, very much so. Noah had belief in God and he acted upon it to save his household and to be saved eternally spiritually. I think it's very interesting that Noah, here, what's said about him, is that he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. It doesn't say, first of all, because God said it. Obviously, it's indicated because of godly fear. But one of the reasons is because he wanted to save his house. He wanted to save his family, which is what any father would want, which is what any dad would want, to save their family, physically and spiritually. Any dad in here for their child would probably take a bullet. Well, that's exactly what Noah is trying to do for his kids. He's trying to make sure that they're saved. He's trying to make sure he can still keep teaching them, still keep helping them spiritually, and they keep living life as any father would want for their kids and have good lives. He even wanted that, obviously, for his son's wives, whom he also probably taught. So we don't have much information on Noah as a father, except a few occurrences, and especially one event that happens with his sons after the flood. But we do know that in the process of the wicked generation again, Noah was faithful to God, and he obviously taught his faith in God to his sons, because again, they and their families would be allowed in the ark as well. Genesis 6, 5 through 11. Let's look at that. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, or in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah, verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So let's look at a bunch of examples now as far as Noah being an excellent example of a man of God and as a father. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 is one place by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, obviously, that we can look at where we understand more about Noah and about what he was doing, especially before that flood event happened. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, I'm sure many here know it already. Second Peter 2:5 says, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." So again, I'm sure we've all heard the lesson, but if Noah again took 100 years or around that to build the ark, which he presumably did, with his sons, most likely helping him again, that would mean that whole time he was preaching. He was preaching God's word. He was preaching God's messages. and nobody listened. No one. Sometimes as a preacher, and what I was taught also was in the preaching school, is sometimes you're going to have the story of or the account of Noah happen to you. Sometimes nobody will listen, whether they be in the world or in the church. Sometimes you'll come to a bunch of people who are just going to mock you and attack you. Sometimes you'll come to a bunch of people who are genuine and they care about God and they're seeking God and they'll listen and they'll be respectful. But Noah, maybe he did convert a few. Maybe he did help a few to come back to God. However, he was able to save 8 people after that 100-year period on the ark. And he obviously had a great effect on his sons spiritually. He was a great example as a father. He dedicated his occupation and his life to God. And so as he was building the ark, probably in his off time, he was going around to the towns. He was going around to, the civilization. And he was talking to people. And he was saying, have you gotten back right with God again? Preaching God's messages according to the patriarchal law in that time that God gave to them. Noah was just trying to bring people back to God before the destruction of the world that he knew was coming, as all prophets did. Ultimately, to no avail it seems, but that did not stop him. He endured and he kept on doing it because he knew that it would have profound effect, good effect on his son spiritually, on his family spiritually, to see him doing that, and obviously, first of all, on him spiritually. Noah was also an excellent example of a father showing how to live with one wife, again, as God intended. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Different verse now. 1 Peter 3:20 says, "Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water." So again, we learn from the 8 people account that 3 of his sons only had one wife, along with Noah only had one wife. And then 2 Peter 2:5 also accounts to that. And so they were all saved through the global flood destruction event, which would have been Noah and his wife and Noah's sons and their wives, Genesis 6:18, again. So Noah taught this thing. He taught, son, you need to only have one wife because that's how God's way is, because that's how God instructed mankind to follow his law for marriage. Only have one wife. No concubines. None of that. Only one wife. And that's what God instructed clearly, and that's what he taught his sons clearly. Noah was also a wonderful example to show to listen to God no matter what, just as Abraham showed many times also as a father and as a man of God. Notice verse 22. There in Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. We'll read that real quick. Excuse me. Genesis 6:13-22. "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. And set the door of the ark in its side, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring 2 of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, 2 of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Verse 22, after all that instruction, if that doesn't show you what dedication to God is, I don't know what does. For Noah, being back in his day and time, in the early age of humanity as it was, the earth was a much more beautiful and luscious place. No doubt about that. So maybe it is that they were able, and some people presume sometimes that maybe they made more technological advancements than we think, but it's perhaps more so the case that that wasn't, and that indeed this is a hard thing to do. Because, again, if it indeed took 100 years, that would mean he did not have such great technological advancements. But he was dedicated to God. And he made that ark, and he made it out of gopher wood, and he did that all God commanded him. He did it. And notice the language there in verse 22. Many times, as the Hebrew language does, there's a re-emphasis, or there is an emphasis. He did all that God commanded him. He did according to, so he did. The Hebrew language does that many times, but it really just does show the emphasis and the importance of the matter being talked about, just as a side note. And so Noah dedicated his life and what he did to God's mind over his own. And likewise, we should as well. We as fathers should dedicate what we think is right, what we think is better. We should throw that to the side, and we should ask ourselves, we should ask the Scriptures, what does God think is right? What does He think is good as a father to behave like, to do, to raise up my children like? What does God think? What is God's mind on the matter? Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 1. Thinking about the effect that it would have on your children for God to have recognized Noah in such a special way. Genesis 7 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Think about his sons. "Dad, why are we the only ones getting on the ark?" "Well, son, because God allowed us as the only righteous people living on this earth. As the only people that are trying, at least, to be righteous." Think about how Noah's sons would have felt knowing that all that Noah preached and lived by in the name of the true God and how they survived with their wives was because of primarily the faithfulness of their father, Noah. If it had not been for Noah's faithfulness, perhaps Shem, Ham, and Japheth would have been with the number of those who died. Could not be the case, but I think it's very strong evidence to suggest that Noah, obviously being such a good man of God he was, exampled a great thing to his children. I think he had profound effect on his children, as any parent would. Because a child does look up to its parents. I looked up to my parents, and I still do. And oftentimes, even parents that do a horrible job sometimes, you even sometimes still look up to them because you just happen to be their child. And it's only natural. And so what we do as parents is all the more important. It's all the more important in how we deal with them. And sometimes, again, there's nothing we can do for them. But it's important how we deal with them in the ways that we're able to. Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 8, 1 through 3. Think about, obviously, how Noah's sons would have felt, again, that all that faithfulness or all that saving was because of Noah. Genesis 8, 1 through 3. "Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased." And again, you can read all these accounts yourself, brethren. I would plead with you because we just don't have enough time to deal with the entirety of the flood account. It certainly is a little bit longer. But the point of this lesson is more so to talk about Noah as a father and as a man of God and speaking of how he behaved and his traits. So immediately, though, upon leaving that ark after the flood event, which can be read through thoroughly in Genesis 7 and 8, Noah worshipped God and gave the glory and thanks to God. And his sons and their wives would have been a part of this worship to God. Couple last things, Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Read verses 20 through 22, same chapter. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night, shall not cease. Noah was a father who showed that his priority was on God first and taught that to all his children, in-laws included. God was close to Noah in a personal communication type way and even made a covenant with Noah and with Noah's sons. Genesis 9 and verse 8. Last verse we'll look at. Genesis 9 and verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "As for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you." And you can continue reading there again. But imagine the amazing effect to be talked to again and establish the covenant with God directly like that. Talking there to Noah and his sons personally. Noah's sons watching and walking after the steps of their father Noah, trying also to walk and talk with God. You can just see the profound effect that Noah as a man of God would have had on his sons. And brethren, that's not even the whole lesson. We're going to come back together once again this afternoon. And so please do try to come back, and we're going to have a whole lot more things to talk about concerning Noah as we did with the Mother's Day series. A lot of you told me that there were a lot of things that you did not think about before or that you did not see before concerning the Mother's Day series and some of the things we talked about. And I really believe that you'll get those things again if you come back again this afternoon for our 1 o'clock service. So if you can, please do try to be there. If there's anyone here today that has need of the invitation for any reason, if you have sin in your life and you're separate from God today, please get right back with your God. Please do try to come back to God once again and try to ask for forgiveness from your God today, that He may forgive you of that sin and cleanse you of that unrighteousness, as 1 John indicates. Please do get back right with your God, Christian. If you're not a Christian, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus is the Christ before men, repent of your sins, we've already said that, and then be baptized, that is, immersed into water for remission of your sins, as in Acts 2, and be added to the church, that will also do for eternity. Remaining faithful unto death, that you may receive the gift of heaven. And so if you have any need today, even a need for encouragement, if you have need for encouragement, let us pray with you. Let us take care of you in that way, brethren. Again, I'm not seeing a whole lot of people come to the front for a long time. If that's good, then good. But I know that all of us as human beings need help from time to time. And it's a good thing to reach out to the church. Your brethren are here for you. It's a good thing to reach out. If you need to do that today, take advantage of that. Please come to the front. Let us help you as we stand and sing to our God together.
Jesus, come to Jesus.